We have a pretty good attendance tonight. We realize that a lot of our families are probably trying to make a last-minute trip or be out of town for that because school will be starting soon. And as Jerry made mention this morning, we do need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for our teachers. We need to pray for our administrators. It's different than when I was in school. It's just a different animal altogether, but we need to think about them. I wanted to take just a moment to say a couple of things before we begin. I noticed that we have a visitor here tonight. I also noticed some of you have already greeted him. We had a visitor here today. Can't remember his last name. His name was John. He'll be working out at Formosa for up to a year. He said he'll be attending here, and his wife was very, very enthusiastic. She'll be attending with him when they are here, so we're delighted about that. Also, Brandy, I don't know Brandy's married name, Brandy Moore, Nichols, that's right, Nichols. Her whole family was here today, and I just caught part of his conversation. I forgot his name also. I think they're either back in town or back in this area. He's going to be working, I believe, in Kennedy until a job opening with the same company is in Victoria. And I said, well, that's good. Maybe we'll see you a little bit more often. He said, no, we'll be regular in our attendance. So we really do need to encourage Brandy and him.
Josh,
that's exactly right. When I saw them, I knew I recognized him, and I didn't recognize Brandy. I told her hair was much more blonde when they were here before, so that's what that is. Oh, and also, let me say this. My wife just does not like to have her name mentioned when she's here. She doesn't like it in the bulletin and so forth. But we're going tomorrow to meet with her surgeon, and if he gives the okay, her surgery will be on the 21st, so her surgery is right around the corner. Please, please, please know, it really bothers her that she's not able to be here, but she's in far more pain now than she was before the first surgery. So we're hoping that as they take that old broken knee replacement out and put a new one in, maybe this will solve the problem, but she is just in tremendous discomfort, and I know you will, I know you have been, but please continue to pray for Linda. Brethren, let's put everything into perspective. Do you realize that everything that Jesus did, he did it for you and for me? Everything Jesus did, he did it for us. Have you ever really thought about it that way? He came to the earth to be born for us. He lived that humble life for us. He left heaven and came to the earth for us. He certainly didn't do it for himself. He did it all for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He lived a perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice to secure our perfect salvation. The Bible says, he who knew no sin accepted or became sin for us. He did that for us. He rose from the grave for us. And someday he's coming back for us. From his own lips he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Have you ever really, really thought about it in that perspective? He was born for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He was raised for us. He's coming again for us. And that begs the natural question, what are we doing for him? If he did all of those things for us, which we are agreeing he did, what are we doing for him? What on earth are we doing for heaven's sake? What are we doing? How are we serving him? Or maybe I should ask it this way, and I will ask it this way. What does it take for us to serve him today? Let me give you 4 points. First of all, it takes a sensitive spirit. A sensitive spirit. Let me tell you a very, very familiar story. Jesus' perhaps best friends, other than the apostles, were Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. They lived in Bethany. that was near Jerusalem, down in the Judea area, and they were just the best of friends. Well, I don't know exactly how it came to be, but Mary and Martha and Lazarus heard that Jesus was coming. So Martha begins to prepare a meal for Jesus. I bet she knew what his favorite food was. I bet she fixed his favorite meal, and she probably knew how hungry he was and how he needed to have his strength renewed so he could continue preaching and teaching. She was doing what she thought was best. And then there's Mary. Mary seems to have known something that Martha and maybe even other people don't realize. Martha was knowledgeable of Jesus' stomach, and Mary was knowledgeable of Jesus' heart. And so Martha is in the kitchen preparing supper. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. And do you remember what Jesus said when Martha came to him saying, basically, "Make Mary come and help me. I need her help." He said, "Martha, you're all excited about the wrong thing. Mary has chosen that good part," Luke 10 and verse 42. Martha wanted help, but Mary had that sensitive spirit. Martha was doing what she thought Jesus needed. Mary did what she knew Jesus wanted. And brethren, let me say this. You and I will never know the full extent of what Jesus wants of us until we have given ourselves to him to the full extent. What else does it take to serve Jesus? It takes a sacrificing spirit. Let me tell you another story. The same community, Bethany, down near Jerusalem. But this time, instead of having a meal at Lazarus, Mary, and Martha's house, he's having a meal at Simon's house, who I believe used to be a leper. He was called Simon the leper. I think Jesus had cured him of his leprosy, and now Jesus is having a meal at Simon's house. And during that time frame, a lady comes in and breaks an alabaster box of precious ointment and pours it on Jesus' head. Now, there were other people there, and they begin to criticize her for wasting that costly perfume. And Jesus says, "Leave her alone. She's doing what she can." Now, brethren, I believe we ought to always do what we can. I believe we should always do the best that we can. I believe we should always do all that we can. Now here's the clincher, but we better do it while we can. Because as the Bible says, the night's coming when all work will cease. Now let's make several points from this story. First of all, let's consider the costliness of this ointment. The Bible uses several words and phrases that help us understand the true value of this ointment, and I'm talking about monetary value. It's called very costly, and even the alabaster box, I understand, was also very costly. It was a perfume. It was an oil. Some translations call it spikenard. King James calls it pure nard, but this fragrance, from what I understand from Wikipedia, so I'm giving you that information, was grown only in the Himalayas. It was a plant. They turned it into fragrance, and this fragrance was especially popular in the arid regions like Judea for burials. Burials in the first century was not like it is today. They needed to anoint the body with fragrance, and you know why. So this was very, very pricey. In fact, even the price is given. King James says 300 denarii, 300 silver coins, 10 times more than they paid Judas to betray our Lord. Very, very costly. And the bottom line is, this was a very costly thing that she did. She gave her best. She had a sacrificing spirit. Brethren, Jesus wants our best. He deserves our best. But we're not going to give him our best until we sacrifice for him. What else does it take to serve Jesus? It takes a steadfast spirit. Let's continue with this last story. Woman is anointing Jesus' head. Some people who are there begin to criticize. Brethren, I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter if it is a religious group, a secular group, a civic group, a fraternal group. I don't know what it is, but there's always a group of self-appointed critics. In fact, I remember not long reading an article about Cold Water Committee. Every time, regardless of the group, every time someone wants to do something and build up the fire in that group, there's that Cold Water Committee to pour cold water all over it. So there was a Cold Water Committee there at Simon's house also. They began to criticize. They would have criticized whether it was costly ointment or inexpensive ointment. They were still going to criticize. In fact, one translation shows someone saying, "What a waste. She's wasting this," and they criticized her sharply. Now, let me give you a warning. You and I are never going to do anything for the Lord and not be criticized for it. There is nothing that we can do for the Lord that someone isn't going to find a reason to criticize. And you and I are never going to do anything for the Lord if we worry about what somebody's going to criticize us about. Brethren, if our motives are right, if our method is pure, we don't have to defend our actions. Jesus will defend us. Isn't that what he did in this story? Jesus turned to those critics and said, "Leave her alone. She's doing what she can." If we're pleasing Jesus, we don't have to worry about displeasing anyone else. What else does it take to serve Jesus? Well, we've mentioned a sensitive spirit, a sacrificing spirit, a steadfast spirit. It also takes a servant's spirit. The woman was anointing Jesus' head. The Cold Water Committee was criticizing. Jesus says, "Leave her alone. She's doing what she can do." And brethren, that's all that Jesus has ever asked of us. Just do what you can do. But just like no one can do everything, everyone can do something. The more we do, the more we need to do. We can't worry about our time. We're doing this for the Lord. We can't worry about depleting our resources. We're taking care of the Lord. We can't worry about overusing our abilities. We're taking care of the Lord. We can never do more than we can do, but we should never do less than we can do. Isn't that the parable of the talents? The five-talent man was not expected to make 100 talents. Just use the 5 talents. The 2-talent man was not expected to make 100 talents. Just use the 2 talents. The 1-talent man was not expected to make 100 talents. Just use that 1 talent. But he was afraid, and he went and hid his talent in the ground. Now, we're talking today about ability. We're talking about the ability that we have, the ability to make money, the ability to visit the sick, the ability to knock doors and so forth. God is not asking us to recruit everyone in Calhoun County to the Lord, except one at a time. "Go ye into all the world," Jesus said. A very literal translation is, "As you go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." So again, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And that's why the congregation concept, the family concept, is so important to the Lord. My areas of strength might be your areas of weakness. Your areas of strength might be my areas of weakness. Therefore, I'll help more in the areas that God has gifted me. You help more in the areas God has gifted you, and to paraphrase from the old stories, we'll all live happily ever after in heaven. Because God has never asked us to do more than we can do. He just asks us to do what we can do. Now, I don't know the condition of everyone here. I think everyone here, having reached a degree of maturity, has already rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ. I think everyone has probably already been baptized into Christ. That's what Jesus says we need to do when we are that mature. But perhaps there are others that need to respond. Perhaps there are some who need to respond to the invitation, even for other reasons. If that's the case, then won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?
Years I spend in vanity and pride, care.